Ashoka's political and moral philosophy, as he expressed it in his imperial inscriptions, initiated a tradition of religious tolerance, non-violent debate, and a commitment to the idea of happiness, which have animated Indian political philosophy ever since. But, and it's a big but, his benevolent empire scarcely outlived him. And that leaves us with the uncomfortable question of whether such high ideals can survive the realities of political power. Nevertheless, this was a ruler who really did change the way that his subjects and their successors thought. Gandhi was an admirer, as was Nehru, and Ashoka even today finds his way onto the currency. On all the Indian banknotes, we see Gandhi facing the four lions of Ashoka's pillar. The architects of Indian independence had him often in their mind. Amartya Sen again.
So that's one part, the duty of the ruler to do good to the world and to his subject. That's the point that A.T. Wells picks up in locating Ashoka as a big figure in the history of the world. But the one that the Indians particularly emphasize at the time of independence is his secularism and democracy in Ashokan thought. But he's a big figure also in China, in Japan, in Korea, in Thailand, in Sri Lanka. And so he's also in that sense a pan-Asian figure.
In the next program, we're dealing with another inscription and another ruler closely linked with a religious system. But in this case, the religion is now dead and the ruler is no longer of any consequence. Indeed, he never really was. But the inscription is one of the most famous objects in the British Museum, and possibly in the world, because it's written on the Rosetta Stone. You can see the object described in this program close up on the A History of the World website, as well as hundreds of others from museums across the UK. And if you have an object with a history to tell, why not add it to our growing collection? Find all this at bbc.co.uk/A History of the World.